think it's a problem with the power outlet. I wonder. All right.
Wiggle it a little.
I think it's all right. Let's just go ahead and start again and just hope. And I'll just glance over there once in a while. All right. So we're going back to moving to Mooresville in 1955, and what that was like.
Well, there were no housing. We had to wait a month while half of a duplex was being built so that we could move in. My husband had gone on ahead and lived in a widow lady's home, and I and our first child moved here. It was a big problem. We finally got housing, but the big problem was I was pregnant with the second child, and there were no telephones where down the end of the street where we were living. And so each month as I grew larger, I went to the telephone office begging them to put on a phone. And we finally got one in August, but my second child was born in July. Mm. So it was a problem. After we had been there for a year, we were lucky enough to learn of a house outside of town in Rowan County, about 4 miles from town, and we loved it and grabbed it because it had a lake down behind. My children grew up enjoying the lake. But the man wouldn't sell us the house, so we rented until we kept trying to find land, and no one would sell us land because several people told me that they only sold land within their own families, totally unlike today.
Right.
But we finally found a lady who knew us, who had inherited some land and needed the money, and we bought 4 acres from her. So that's where I live now. When we first moved here, it was, as I said, the first year that Burlington had bought a mill from a local owner, the Abernathys. And so there was an big influx of, quote, new people into Mooresville, which exacerbated the housing. And it was also, they had a lot of turnover in the general manager. My husband used to come over and come home and say, well, I made another week because so many people were being transferred or fired. It was a real tough time. The social side, since I wasn't teaching and I was getting to know people, one of the ways I got to know was that a group of the Burlington Wives formed a little bridge club with no rules except do not talk about Burlington and we won't have a name. So I got to know people that way. And then gradually out in the community, and that helped a lot. And I always went to the library, and Mrs. Johnston was a librarian here now. And she's very kind. And later, after we'd been here a lot of years, several people I know well now so that they always remember me bringing all my little children. I eventually had 5 to the library, and we eat once a week. We loaded the trunk up with books, so the library was a big part of it too. Anyway, the thing that really touched me or impressed me at first in terms of social associations was that at that time, not now, but at that time, with the newness of all these strangers coming into town, there was a sort of a provincialism prevalent. And I had one lady say to me something about, oh, you're with Burlington. And, you know, that sort of thing. Anyway, it's not that way anymore, and I'm glad. But it was tough breaking in, I guess you'd say. And one of the things that I felt I had really arrived when another friend and I were the only two young people admitted, invited to be members of the book club that was just the matriarchs of the town. And so, and they were delightful ladies, and I really felt good getting to know all of them. One of them was the daughter-in-law of John Moore, who had established Mooresville. And they were really interesting older ladies. And when we had book reviews and took turns once a month, some of the really, you got to know them well by the books that they chose to. And I remember one of them, who was more of a maverick than the others, interviewed a book, I've forgotten the title, but it was had to do with working women, which was a, you know, thing that they did not do. And I made several comments, and one of them took exception to something that I had said, and the interviewer, Mrs. Merle Fosbrick, said, well, I'll just tell you, Miriam's right, that paid work has more status than volunteer work. And she put the hiatus on those other ladies. It was the ladylike thing, you know, to volunteer but not to work for money. Anyway, I wasn't teaching at the time. I was having babies galore. Anyway, I'm going to turn off. I can't. Okay.
So when did you begin teaching?
Well, we had five children. I was out for 9 years from teaching. I had taught previous to being married. And so my husband and I, we had five children in 6 years. So we had figured up that by the time the third one was in college, we would need two incomes real bad. So I took some refresher courses at Catawba and at Davidson and renewed my certificate. And I went by to get the previous time I had taught at A.L. Brown in Kannapolis, and then I married and moved to South Carolina. So I went by to get my certificate changed with the superintendent's signature from my maiden name to my married name, because I hadn't taught since I was married. And when I came in from a class from Catawba and just whizzed through to Kannapolis on my way home, and Mr. Bullock, who was the superintendent there, I can still see him saying, well, why don't you just come on back and teach for us again? So I said, okay. So I didn't even interview for a job, and I came home that day with a job and hadn't quite finished my renewal stuff. So for 2 years, I went back over there, and then an opening came in Mooresville Senior High. And I was there, oh goodness, I've forgotten the years, but finished up and retired in 93. Anyway, my husband died in 90, so those 3 years really were busy ones and helpful in terms of getting over that emotional part too. But I when I first went over there, I had four classes of biology and one class of English. And George Stevens and his mother owned a furniture store here, and I had his youngest son in the English class. And I saw him the other day in the post office, and he was laughing and telling me that there's one thing that I did in that English class that he would never forget. And I said, what's that? He said, remember when we were giving those little speeches that you were getting on to us about having saying all the time? So one day you brought marbles and a big glass jug, and every time we said, oh, you dropped a marble, and he says, I still get jumpy.
Can't
right. Well, visual aid worked. I was always real proud of the fact that over at the senior high, forgotten the year, but we did integrate before we were had to, and I thought that was a real good mark for the town. And and went peacefully too. So I appreciated that. And I've had some real, real good black students. I've had some not so good, but I've not so good white ones too. So it worked out real well. And not too long ago, I met one of the black students, a girl that I had had, who's now a lawyer in Salisbury, and I'm so proud of her. And her mother was a really, really a concerned parent, but in a quiet way, and her brother was a good student just like she was. One sad thing was one black boy that I had was a really charming, delightful guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he graduated, and then he went to work at Burlington for my husband.
Oh.
And my husband was a gentle giant.
Uh-huh.
And he told me once that he was bringing him along with little talks.
Uh-huh.
But we were both really, really shocked when there was an accident and he was electrocuted and
oh.
was killed.
Oh.
So my husband and I went to the black funeral home,
mm-hmm.
and everyone was so nice to us. And I said to my husband, you know, between the two of us, we've got Mooresville covered, because you're at Burlington and I'm at the high school.
Yeah.
But it was a real touching time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I can still see him, even though I've forgotten his name. I can still see him in my mind's eye.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was a really neat kid, and my husband said he had a lot of promise that it really hurt.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, so talking about how it was the difference between before, I guess 1965 and after.
Right. Now, I went back to teaching in 65, and for 2 years I was in Kannapolis.
Okay, so you were in Kannapolis, you weren't in Mooresville when
right.
it went out. Okay, okay.
And my first year, as I've said, you know, I had both biology and English, and it wasn't until 2 years later that I had all English,
okay.
Which was my major,
mm-hmm.
but I had a minor in biology.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first day I taught over at the high school, I remember I had on stockings,
mm-hmm.
and I remember feeling perspiration roll down my legs because there was no air conditioning. And we had all white students, and they were nice. One funny thing, I remember having some garden snakes in the biology, and I'd been talking about how you could tell whether a snake fed at night or day by the shape of the iris, and I carried around this little green garter snake up and down the aisles, and this big fat girl named Rita jumped up in her seat, standing up in the chair, and shouted, "I don't care when they eat."
I don't care when they eat.
Anyway, it was a fun time, and
uh-huh.
several older teachers and I have reminisced about the time that it was different.
Uh-huh.
When we integrated, there was a problem, it seemed to me, not big, but blacks clustered.
Yeah, and that's just kind of, I'd love
and
to
they're
hear.
Still
was
doing
there?
It. They're still doing it.
No.
Now, we had one black girl who was really popular with both blacks and whites mm-hmm. on the student council and
mm-hmm.
real active and vivacious. And she told me once that she had problems because the other black kids got on to her
mm-hmm.
for being friends with
right.
whites,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty rough.
Yeah.
I think the sports thing mm-hmm. sort of opened doors for black-white relations more than any other, because
okay.
the black athletes were really, really good, the ones,
right. mm-hmm.
and they made, and you know, it was equality on
sure.
the team, and
sure.
that worked out fine. I found a little hesitancy, some of the blacks, it depends on your personality
mm-hmm.
and how you treat them, and I can understand that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was always one, I believed in order and discipline, but fairness and also
mm-hmm.
a good belly laugh every so often.
Right, right.
And they responded to the humor.
Sure, sure.
And I noticed that when I, let's say, when I called down
mm-hmm.
a white student,
mm-hmm.
the blacks would grin.
Hmm.
And sometimes they were, the white students were, shall we say, upper income class
yeah.
who had never been called down.
Uh-huh.
So I think this is just my surmise,
yeah.
but it seemed to me from the way they treated me, the blacks treated me, that they knew that I was not going to
right.
give preferential treatment
right.
just because of who someone's parents were.
Sure.
And I like that because yeah. I believe in fairness
mm-hmm.
and human beings being human beings. That's
right.
just the way I was built.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I never had any problems.
Mm-hmm.
I had some problems with some white students, but
mm-hmm.
not for long, because my modus operandi was to take them aside one-on-one
mm-hmm.
and tell them that evidently they didn't understand my expectations. Mm-hmm. And this is what they were. And if they didn't live up to it later, then I would know that they did it deliberately. Mm-hmm. And then we'd go from there. And usually I didn't have anything after that. Mm-hmm. Once or twice I had some parents who would come rushing over in the springtime. Mm-hmm. Because I had seniors, and they had to graduate, you know, had to pass English. And though I had been nagging them and keeping copious records and offering help and everything else for months and months and months, some of them still weren't making the grade. Mm-hmm. And the parents sometimes would say, "We just want him to walk across the stage."
Right.
And I would lean over and say confidentially, "Don't you want him to know anything?"
Right.
And, you know, usually these were the parents who had bought them new cars and let them go out every night and all that. Yeah. But I had one student named Larry once. At the time, you could pass one semester and not pass another semester. You could still graduate and go to summer school and get your degree, but you'd get a diploma, and you get to go across the stage.
Right.
But they stopped that.
Huh.
So old Larry, who was a charming, blonde, cute fella, did not pass first semester.
Huh.
And we had our little tete-a-tetes, and he bucked up, and he did pass second semester. Mm-hmm. But his mom and dad came over, and the conference thing. And anyway, I remember his father leaning over and saying to me, "Miss Parrott, just what good is English anyway?"
I don't think that's a good thing to ask an English teacher.
I know. Anyway, Larry was the one who didn't mind. It was his mom and dad who minded.
Yeah.
But Larry went on to become a printer of the local newspaper.
And
he is still my friend, and he said, "Miss Parrott, you were fair. I just didn't study."
Mm.
So that was one of those little things you remember, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When we got our first black teachers.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I mean, yeah, that would be good to ask about.
Margie Byers was our biology teacher, became one of my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I've forgotten the other teacher who was coming from Thomasville every single day.
Wow.
And she was funny and a business teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And Margie taught biology. And we liked them. Some people were a little distant. Some of the teachers were a little distant. But those of us who knew them liked them.
Mm-hmm.
And Margie and I became fast friends. She's now a counselor in the Iredell County Schools. And she and her husband and Betty Jo Lawrence and her husband Bill and my husband and I had dinners together. They came to my home and were truly nice people. Jonathan was an English teacher. He's principal now.
Okay.
And really good. And she had two children. She lost several before, and then she had cancer, but she's recovered, and we're all real proud of her. The one from Thomasville moved on, but she was telling me once in confidence, and I thought that all the black girls who were becoming pregnant were doing so to prove that they were fertile, which was a concept foreign to me, but she was explaining to me. Margie explained to me that she was having a really tough time with the blacks in her church because, first of all, she had married the eligible bachelor, and she was from Charlotte, which was out of town, and that she was walking a fine line because they accused her of being a whitey.
Yeah.
Anyway, a really decent woman, too, and I want to stick up for her.
Mm-hmm.
We were called on the carpet together by some irate parents whose daughter was flunking 4 out of 5 subjects, and we had to go about 3 different meetings. They even brought in the superintendent and all this. trying to get us to waver from telling the truth, I guess. Mm-hmm. And finally, I remember, the third or fourth time, I just jumped up and stood behind the chair and I shouted, and I've never shouted in my life. I said, I am tired of this. Mm-hmm. And the superintendent never called us back because we were telling the truth. Yeah. But Margie and I always said we'd been through the wars together.
It sounds like it.
We had another one later, a man teacher who was black. And there was a lot of bad feeling there, not because he was black, because he was incompetent. And he later, I understand, was fired for showing an adult film in a class that's supposed to be about fixing automobiles. Now you tell me.
Yeah. I don't see a relationship there.
I know. I had a, we always got records from him to put on in the our homeroom students' records, and he, more than once, would have a student would make a 95 one semester, 95 second semester, but the year's average would be 100. And we couldn't change his figures. The principal, when I went to him, said, you'll have to go to him. So I went downstairs to where his room was, and he was holding his grade book up, looking, looking, and I just slipped around behind him and looked, and he didn't have a single grade in that book. So he didn't know math and he didn't keep records, and that's one of the reasons we were embarrassed to have him on our faculty, because it frankly showed us, you know, we were really proud of being one of the 15 schools in the whole state. We had, were number one in physics one year, and we were in the 15 subjects we placed in the top ones, and really, really proud, number seven in English.
All right.
But one principal told me once that Mooresville Senior High was the best public-private school in the state, and I was really proud of that. You know, we had a lot of good camaraderie with the faculty, that we felt we were really doing the job. I don't know about now, but when I was there, that's a feeling we had.
Anything else that you would like to add? Any maybe interesting stories of this time, maybe, or just basically anything you'd like to go back to that you may have talked about earlier?
Well, I remember before we moved up, when my husband had gotten a job with Burlington, we drove up one Sunday afternoon from York just to look at the town. And I was dismayed because I thought, after coming from that southern, you know, place, that this was ugly. It's changed a lot, thank goodness. But I really didn't like the looks of it. I was dreading it, but I've grown. Now everyone thinks I'm a native because I've been here so long. Anyway, it's and I've made lots of friends, and it's a good place. It's changed in the last 10 years. It has really, really changed. And
in what way specifically?
Well, physically.
Just physically.
Physically, but also mental, attitude, socially, and everything. And it's become much larger. I have a cousin who lives out at the lake and travels a lot, and he's told his mother in Albemarle, which is my aunt, that Mooresville is just booming. He's in the banking business. And she's real dismayed because Albemarle is not. My mother died 3 years ago, but a year or so before that, I took her an article in the Wednesday Wall Street Journal, which was about Albemarle being behind the times, and named names that we all knew, which I found interesting. But anyway, I'm real happy to see Mooresville growing.
You see it becoming more progressive as time goes by, or perhaps?
I don't know. I'm not into racing, although I live close to Ernie Irvin, and I taught Dale Earnhardt Jr., so those are my contacts there, but I don't go to races.
Uh-huh.
But they've brought a lot of money and a lot of recognition to Mooresville, so I'm not going to knock it.
Yeah.
Mooresville needed it. But we've become more diverse in numbers of employers here, too, and I think that is the lifeblood of the community. Which, and a lot of, I'm not adverse to new people coming in. I was one once, and I just find it real interesting. But at the same time, I like to know those who've been here before, and my good friend that I told you about is a gold mine of information. Mm-hmm. Her name's Mary Elizabeth Johnston, and she was a McKee. Her her father was a chiropractor here, and her mother was a music teacher who, I think she went to Juilliard. I mean, she's really a smart woman. And so she'll have a lot to tell you.
I appreciate that.
I'm just a newcomer.
Relatively speaking, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up.
Okay.
All right.